It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the rest.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said that a person who sends 50 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Quran. In this silsila we will discuss the ayat number 40 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Previously, we discussed the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And in this ayat, we are going to discuss the story of Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel, adhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّا يَفَرْهَبُونَ That O children of Israel, remember my bounties which I have bestowed upon you. You should fulfill my promise and I will fulfill your promise. وَإِيَّا يَفْرْهَبُونَ And you should fear me alone. The connection of this ayat with the previous ayat is that the story of Bani Israel is in accordance with the story of Adam alayhi salam. Because in the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, we learnt that a mistake happened from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and then all the comforts, the luxuries which he had in the Jannat were taken away from him. And in the story of Bani Israel, they were blessed with so many bounties. But because of the mistake they made on the issue of manna and salwa, they became bored of that jannati food. And they refused to have manna and salwa anymore. So that was the mistake. Because of that mistake, they had to face many calamities. So now this is the commonality between the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and between the story of Bani Israel. Secondly, we have learnt in the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam that Shaitan got destroyed because of jealousy. He thought that he deserves to be the successor, or Khalifa of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he could not see the glory of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the greatness which was bestowed upon Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He could not see that, he could not take that. And he refused to accept Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And he got rejected and cursed. Now, these kuffar from Bani Israel, before the arrival of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were expecting that the Nabi Akhiru Zaman, the last Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would come from Bani Israel. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appeared, he came from Bani Ismail. So they became jealous, and because of that jealousy, they refused to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, the ulama of Bani Israel in Madinatul Munawwara, they had great respect. And that was their way and mean of income. But they got threatened that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come now and everyone will follow him and their mean of income will come to an end. So some of them became open enemies of beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some became hypocrites and they started harming Islam with other style or with hidden style. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah kareemah that, O Bani Israel, you should learn a lesson from the story of Shaitan. He became victim of jealousy and he got destroyed. And you have also become jealous. So, end result would be destruction. So, this is an invitation which has been given to Bani Israel that, O Bani Israel, don't forget the ni'mats which I have bestowed upon you. Remember that and accept my prophet, accept the last prophet, and leave the path of jealousy because the end result would be that you will get nothing out of this exercise. So that is the connection of this ayat with the previous ayat. Now let's learn the ayah kareem and especially the Bani Israel and its formation, where it begins. And what is the real meaning of Bani Israel? Who are they? Where they come from? Bani is plural of Ibnun. Baneen and Abna is also plural of Ibnun. Although Ibn is real son, that's Ibn. But technically, your progeny can also be called Bani. Whether they are your sons or your daughters or your sons' children or your daughters' children, your great-grandchildren, your progeny, technically can be called Bani. Close relatives, far relatives, they all are included in that. As we say, Bani Adam. So we are Bani Adam. Although we are not physical children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, but we are his children's children, children's children, so many generations. So in that sense, Bani Israel is called Bani Israel. Israel is the laqab of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. His name is Yaqub. And this word is derived from aqab, which means to be behind. Actually, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had another brother, and his name was Ais. And they both are twin brothers. They are twins. And his brother, Hazrat Ais, was born few minutes before him. And he was born after that. So he came after. Because he came after, his name became Yaqub. And their father, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. So Hazrat Yaqub is son of Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. And Hazrat Yaqub was very obedient to Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam and would always serve Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. Once Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam decided to go in seclusion for ibadat, and he appointed Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam at the door to watch and don't allow anyone to come in, because people might just come in and cause disturbance. And he set aside a time for the worship to be alone. An angel came in the form of human being. And he said, I want to visit Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. So Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam stopped him. And this angel wanted to go by force. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam stood firm and fought with him. He said, no, I would not let you go in. So Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam heard some noise or arguments going on. So he came out and he saw, and he recognized that that was a muqarrab angel, an angel which was close in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam told Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam that, oh my son, he is an angel. So you should apologize. So Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam apologized from that angel. But that angel got so happy and he praised Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, and he said that this is the way a son should serve his father. This is the best example of obedience to parents. An angel gave him a name. He said, please, from today call him Israel. Israel is a combination of two words, Isra and Eel. Isra means a slave or a bondsman. And another meaning of Isra is to be close. And Eel in Hebrew language is the name of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So therefore the meaning of Israel is a slave of Allah, bondsman of Allah, or the one who is in closeness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now because this name was suggested by an angel, so he gave a name which was similar to the names of angels, like Jibrail, Mikael, Israfil, Israel. So sometimes you hear that name and you think of maybe it's a name of an angel. So it's not a name of an angel, it's a name of a Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, but given by an angel. That's why it has a similarity with the names of angels. So the children of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam are not called by his personal name. They're not called as Bani Yaqub. They are called as Bani Israel. The reason is that there is targhib, an invitation to these people, that remember your forefather, he earned that name because of obedience. So you must also be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, you must also be obedient to your parents. And as he earned that beautiful title as a gift, as a reward, so you should also do things in which you earn reward from the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the reason that his children are called Bani Israel and they are not called Bani Yaqub. This would be very interesting to know the whole history of Bani Israel and where they started and what is their family ground. Actually, the story starts from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam used to live in a city of Babel called Kasdyun. Its other name was Artha. And he used to live there with his father, Tariq, and Tariq with his son, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his grandson, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife, Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this was the family, together with the father of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we also learned from here that the father of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his name is Tariq. His name is not Azar. So what is mentioned in Quran and Kareem, the word Ab for Azar, that means uncle. So the uncle of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was Azar, who was idol worshipper. But the father of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was Muwahid, he was a believer. He believed in the oneness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and his name was Tariq. And then Tariq decided to take his family and move towards south at a place called Hara. And that's the place where Tariq passed away. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam took his wife, Hazrat Sarah, and Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, came to Canaan. That is another famous city. And then in the area of Haytun, at a place called Khabrun, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam stayed there. He had two wives. The older wife, Hazrat Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the younger wife, Hazrat Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had 8 sons. One from Hazrat Sarah and 7 from Hazrat Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The bigger son was Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And then other sons were Zamran, Yasqan, Madan, Madian, Asbaq, Sukh. These are the names of the sons of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So from his sons, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam came and settled down in Arabia. And his children are called Bani Ismail. And from his children, the last prophet, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born. And his other son, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, stayed in Canaan. As we discussed earlier, that Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam's wife gave birth to twins. So one is Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, and the other son is Hazrat Ishaq. Hazrat Aish. Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam made his both sons his sajada nashi, means his successors. And he gave dua to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam that may Allah send prophets in your progeny, in your children. And he gave dua to Hazrat Aish that may Allah send kings in your progeny. And then towards the end of his life, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam made Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam his successor and sajada nashin for his knowledge, for his propagation work, etc. And he passed away. Hazrat Aish became very wealthy, and Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam was very poor. So his mother advised to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam that it would not be suitable for you to live here. You should go to your maternal uncle, your mamu. He's wealthy, he's rich, he would be able to look after you. And maybe he can give his daughter in your marriage. So that way you can settle down as well. So when he went there, his uncle got very happy. And the name of his uncle was Layan. And after a few days, he gave his eldest daughter in his nikah. And four sons were born: Robil, Shamoon, Lava, and Yehuda. These were the four sons of Yaqub alayhi salam from that wife. And then after a while, she passed away, the first one. Layan gave his second daughter in the nikah of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. And two sons were born from the second wife. She also passed away. Then Layan gave his third daughter in the nikah of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Few children were born from her. She also passed away. Then Layan gave his fourth daughter in the nikah of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. And her name was Rahil. From her, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and Hazrat Binyamin were born. Now, the age of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam reached 40 years. And at that time, he was blessed with Nabuwat, with the prophethood. He became prophet at that age. And he was given the order to move to Canaan and go and make tabligh and do the propagation of religion and introduce the tawheed and the oneness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Layan got very happy when he heard that his son-in-law became prophet. And he offered Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam 500 goats, 500 bulls, 500 camels, 500 mules, many slaves, a lot of clothes, a lot of money, and gave him a farewell. Because he knew that he has to leave and he got a great task to perform. So he came with his children, with his wealth, with the goods, everything to Canaan. And then his brother Ayas was there. He welcomed Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, and he celebrated and he was very happy. And he asked Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam to make dua so in his nasl, in his progeny, can also be some prophets. So Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam told them that from your children, Hazrat Ayub and Sikandar Dhul Karnain will be born. So when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was of 2 years of his age, then his younger brother, Hazrat Binyamin, was born after 2 years. And in the process of being born, his mother giving birth, she passed away. And when Layan heard that his fourth daughter also passed away, then he gave his fifth and the last youngest daughter in the nikah of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. So she is the one who actually looked after Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and Hazrat Binyamin. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam had total 12 sons: Ro'il, Shamoon, Lawa, Yehuda, Askar, Zabloon, Dan, Ta'tali, Jad, Ishar, Yusuf, and Binyamin. So all his 12 sons had many children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of barakah in their progeny, in their family, and they all had many children. And because of these 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Bani Israel became famous. So when you talk about 12 tribes of Bani Israel, where do they come from? They come from the sons of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. And they are called Sabt as well. And the plural of Sabt is Asbat. So they are known and called with these names as well. And there are many great prophets alayhi salam came in the progeny of these 12 tribes of Bani Israel, like Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, etc. The many great prophets came in the progeny of Bani Israel. So these people were highly respected everywhere in the world. And there were many living in Madinatul Munawwara, in Khaybar, and in the surrounding areas. So this was the history of Bani Israel. So they were there in Medina, they were there in Khaybar. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and the message was delivered, then they denied. So the khulasa, the summary of the verse is that the Bani Israel, they would not accept Islam because of jealousy, because of hasad. Because they presumed that Nabi Akhirul Zaman, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last prophet, would come in their families, in their progenies, in their tribes. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in Bani Ismail, these people became jealous and they started burning in the fire of jealousy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Bani Israel that, O you, the foolish ones, remember the in'am, remember the bounties which I have bestowed upon you. I have sent so many prophets amongst you from your families. Books were revealed. You were given dominance, power, respect, favors, wealth, kingdom. You had pomp and glory. You were celebrated everywhere. Knowledge, wisdom, everything was given to you. And now, if the last prophet came from Bani Ismail, he did not come from Bani Ishaq, so what harm is going to happen to you? So you are not the only one who have made a contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be favored all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you enough. So now he has decided to send the last prophet in the progeny and the children of Ismail alayhi salam. So why have you become jealous? Why you want to fight? Why you don't want to accept? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them that, you know, get rid of this habit of jealousy and remember my ni'mats, remember my bounties. So you must fulfill your promise. And what was their promise? That when the last prophet will come, we will support him, we will believe in him. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fulfill your side of the promise. You made a promise, you fulfill that. And I will fulfill my promise. And my promise is that I will give you respect, I will give you wealth, I'll give you the ni'mats and the bounties of this dunya, and your income will not stop, because your main fear is, that's the only thing we have, that we are known as holy people, and because of that people come and give us gifts and money and our homes run. And now when the last prophet comes, then everyone will go to him and respect him, and our shop will close. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't worry about that. I will take care of that because I made a promise. So you fulfill your promise, I will fulfill my promise. From this ayah karima, we learn some beautiful Madani pulse that to remember the ni'mats, the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the hukm of Quran-e-Kareem. Because this hukm is given to Bani Israel, that remember the ni'mats of Allah, remember the bounties of Allah. Rejoice, celebrate, acknowledge, accept. Therefore, to celebrate Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a great act, because in this there is a mentioning of the arrival of greatest bounty of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, which is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. That, O beloved, say to them, that with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah, with His mercy, you should rejoice. So even when we have Gyarmi Sharif, or Urs Sharif of Buzurgan-e-Din, that is to remember and celebrate these personalities, because these personalities come amongst us as a ni'mat and a gift of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And when you talk about their life, characters, and how they lived their lives, and how they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that becomes a motivation, that becomes a targheeb for other Muslims to follow this beautiful deen of Islam. So in Hajj, in Qurbani, in fasting, in Ramadan, in everything, there's a remembrance of the ni'mats, of the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. However, if wrong things is mixed with the right thing, then the rule is that you should work hard to remove the wrong from the right. So if any person or people in any area have added any innovations or bid'at or certain customs which are based on ignorance and are not sanctioned by Sharia, so we should fight to remove those evils and those wrongdoings. We should not stop something which is legal, which is good and beneficial and sanctioned by Sharia. Like, for example, these days there are too many wrong happens at the time of nikah. The way people wear their clothes, women wear their clothes, There's so much of shamelessness. And music, dance. So nobody says that stop nikah because wrong things are happening in nikah. So what would be said that? No, we can't stop nikah ceremonies or exercise of nikah. We must stop the wrong that is happening in that gathering. Another example, when there were idols in the Kaaba, and when Muslims took control, what happened? The idols were removed. Kaaba was not destroyed. So this is a logical thing to understand, that remove the evil. Don't stop something which is right and sanctioned by Sharia. Another example, if dog enters the masjid, you're not allowed to break the masjid down. What you would do? Remove the dog. So some people who feel we should not celebrate Miladun Nabi or Urs because this wrong happens and that wrong happens. First of all, wrong does not happen in every function, in every gathering. And wherever the wrong happens, we should put our efforts and our influence and our power to stop that. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have learnt many beautiful Madani flowers from this Ayah Kareema. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and chance to have proper and thorough understanding of Quran Kareem. Alhamdulillah, in the mahal and in the environment of Dawat Islami, we learn Quran Kareem, we learn Hadith Mubarakah, we learn Fiqh, and we learn many branches of knowledge in many different languages. So wherever in the world you are, stay in touch with Dawat Islami, attend weekly ijtima's of Dawat Islami, travel in Madani Qafilas, inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will see a great change within your life. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become